Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldari, and today we're Maseches the Erev and Daf Ein Gimel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a Braisa, Mi Sheyeshu Chamish Nashim Makabos Pras Mebalehem, someone who has five wives who live in separate houses in a chatzer, but receive support from him, and he lives in a house in that same chatzer, Makamisha Avadim Makabim Pras Merabehen, or five servants who live in separate houses but receive support from their master who lives in that same chatzer. Rabbi Yudim and Maser is Matu the chatzer to be used by everyone in the case of the woman, but is osur in the case of the servants. Rashi explains that even though the servants are supported by the master, their relationship is not as strong as marriage. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is matu the chatzer in the case of the servants, but he's osur in the case of the woman. Rav explained Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's reason for holding the master-servant relationship is stronger based on the pasuk with Daniel Bisra Malka, and Daniel was in the gate of the king. The Mir explains that even though Daniel spent most of his time learning and was not actually in the king's court, since he was conscious of his obligations to the king, it was considered as if he was in the gate of the king. Point number two, Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav Sheshes is where members of a yeshiva should measure their tchum from. If they eat their bread in the inns of a nearby valley and come to sleep at the yeshiva, and Rav Sheshes answered that they measure it from the yeshiva. So the Gemara asked that if that is so, then when someone places his erev tchumim within 2,000 amas of his home and sleeps at home, why is the tchum measured from the location of his erev? So the Gemara answers that in that case, Anan Sahadi, we can attest to their intentions that if they could reside by their erev, they would. Whereas in the case of the yeshiva students, Anan Sahadi, we can attest that they would prefer if people would bring bread to them in the yeshiva. And point number three, one of the four cases mentioned in the next Mishnah states, Chamesh chatzeros pesuchos zo lezo, upesuchos lemavui. Five chatzeros that open to one another and also open to a mavui. If they join in an erev for the chatzeros and merge in a shita for the mavui, and one of the residents forgot and didn't join in the erev, mutarin kan v'kan. They are permitted here in the chatzer and here in the Mavui. This seems to indicate that a Shitav can serve in lieu of an Erev. Yet the Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that both an Erev and Shitav are necessary. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Meir's concern was Shalol l'shecheach toras Erev mina tinokos, in order not to cause the institution of Erev to be forgotten by the children. But here, since most of the residents did join in the Erev, it won't be forgotten. Therefore, even Rabbi Meir would allow the Shitav to serve in lieu of an Erev in this case. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa, Mishiyeshu Chamish Nashim, Bakabos Pras Mebalehem, someone who has five wives who live in separate houses in a chatzer but receive support from him, and he lives in a house in that same chatzer, Bakamisha Avadi Mekabim Pras Merabehen, or five servants who live in separate houses but receive support from their master who lives in that same chatzer, Rav Yudim Ben Maser is Matu the chatzer to be used by everyone in the case of the woman, but is osur in the case of the servants. Rashi explains that even though the servants are supported by the master, their relationship is not as strong as marriage. Rav Yudim and Vav is mat to the chatz in the case of the servants, but he's osur in the case of the woman. Rav explained Rav Yudim and Vav's reason for holding that the master-servant relationship is stronger based on the pasuk with Daniel Bisra Malka, and Daniel was in the gate of the king. The Mir explains that even though Daniel spent most of his time learning and was not actually in the king's court, since he was conscious of his obligations to the king, it was considered as if he was in the gate of the king. Point number two, Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav Sheshes where members of a yeshiva should measure their tchum from if they eat their bread in the inns of a nearby valley and come to sleep at the yeshiva. And Rav Sheshes answered that they measure from the yeshiva. So the Gemara asks, if this is so, then when someone places his erev tchumi within 2,000 amas of his home and sleeps at home, why is the tchum measured from the location of his erev? The Gemara answers that in that case, Anan Sahadi, we can attest to their intentions, that if they could reside by their erev, they would, whereas in the case of the yeshiva students, Anan Sahadi, we can attest that they would prefer that people would bring bread to them in the yeshiva. And point number three, one of the four cases mentioned in the next mission states, Chamesh chatzeros pesuchos zo lezo upesuchos lemavui. Five chatzeros that open to one another and also open to a mavui. If they join in an erev for the chatzeros and merge in a shita for the mavui, and one of the residents forgot and didn't join in the erev, mutarin kan v'kan. They are permitted here in the chatzer and here in the Mavui. This seems to indicate that a Shitav can serve in lieu of an Erev. Yet the Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that both an Erev and Shitav are necessary. So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Meir's concern was Shalol Shechech towards Erev Mini Tinokos, in order not to cause the institution of Erev to be forgotten by the children. But here, since most of the residents did join in the Erev, it will not be forgotten. Therefore, even Rabbi Meir would allow the Shitav to serve in lieu of an Erev in this case. All right, so now we go to a simon for Daf Ein Gimel, and this simon comes to us by way of Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona, and he suggested a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. When the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva He prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast. They politely turned around and went back to their dorms located in Five Caseros, where always one of them forgot to join in the Erev. Once again in slow motion. When the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva he prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast. Giant ostrich egg? That must mean we're on Daf Ayin Gimel. So when the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants, which reminds us of the Malchus between Rabbi Yehuda ben Vaser and Rabbi Yehuda ben Vava, regarding who has a close relationship, wives to their husband or servants to their master, when it comes to being mat to them to carrying the same chatzir when they live in separate houses. So when the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva he prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast, which reminds us that a yeshiva's tchum is measured where they sleep, not where they travel to eat, since they prefer to eat in their yeshiva and not to have to travel for meals. A tchum is measured from the air because that's where the person would have preferred to reside. So when the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva he prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast, they politely turned around and went back to their dorms located in Five Chatzeros, where always one of them forgot to join in the Erev. Which reminds us that Rabbi Meir's concern that children will come to forget the institution of an Erev does not apply when most residents join in the Erev and only one forgets. So once again, when the wealthy innkeeper with five wives and five servants proudly told the visiting yeshiva he prepared a giant ostrich egg for breakfast, they politely turned around and went back to their dorms located in Five Chatzeros, where always one of them forgot to join in the Erev. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Samech Tes. So the symbol for Samech Tes is Soot, or chimney sweep. So here goes. After years of running his chimney sweep franchise on Shabbos, the former Yisrael Mumer did teshuva, which reminds us. Rav Huna said, Ezu Yisrael Mumer, who is considered an irreligious Jew, which Rashi explains to mean that we consider this person an irreligious Jew in regard to everything. Zeh Mechal Shabbosos Befarhesia. This is anyone who publicly desecrates Shabbos. Rav Nachman asks, which Tana does Rav Huna's statement go according to? If it goes according to Rabbi Meir, who said, Chashlu Davar Echod, Chashlu Kula Torah Kula, one who is suspected in one area of Torah law is suspected to violate the entire Torah. Afil Be'echod Mikol Yisroel Shem B'Torah Nami. Even if he violated any Torah prohibition other than Shabbos, he should be considered a mumer for everything. If it goes according to the Rabbanim, who say, Chashlu Davar Echod, Lovi Chashlu Kula Torah Kula, one who is suspected to violate one area of Torah law is not suspected to violate the entire Torah. Unless he's a heretic for Avodah Zorah, why did Rav Huna say only Machal Shabbos is a mumer in regard to everything? Rav Nachman Yitzchak answered, Rav Huna's question was, who is considered irreligious insofar he's not able liten rishus, levat rishus, to cede and relinquish his rights in regard to an Erev? To that, Rav Huna answers, HaMachal Shabbos Mefarhesia. Rav Huna holds like the Rabbanim that a Machal Shabbos Mefarhesia is not suspect in other areas, but he is treated as a Nachri in regards to ceding and relinquishing his rights of an Erev. Rav Ashi disagreed and said that Rav Huna was following the Tana who holds Chilul Shabbos is as stringent as Avodah Zorah. So after years of running his chimney sweep franchise on Shabbos, the former Yisrael Mumer did Teshuvah, and whenever he forgot to participate in the Erev, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Anshei Chatzar Sheshachach Echo Mehem Bola Erev, members of a Chatzar, one of whom forgot and did not participate in the Erev, Beiso Asum Malachnis Malahotzi, his house is restricted with regards to carrying articles in or out, Lo v'lahem, both to him and to them, even though he was mevatel rishus to the other residents. The Gemara asks why his house is restricted to the residents if he's mevatel rishus, and answers that the case is that he was only mevatel the rights of his chatzer, and the Rabbanan hold ha-mevatel rishus chatzero, rishus beisel obito. One who relinquishes his rights to his chatzer does not relinquish his rights to his house. The dar inish mebayis b'lo chatzer, because a person sometimes lives in a house without having rights to a chatzer. So after years of running his chimney sweep franchise on Shabbos, the former Yisrael Mumer did Teshuvah, and whenever he forgot to participate in the Erev, his understanding neighbors always treated him like a guest. Which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, V'shalahem mutarim lo v'lahem. However, their houses are permitted to him and to them. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the person who relinquishes rights to the Chatzar is permitted to carry from the other residents' houses to the Chatzar, since this should seemingly cause him to get back his rights on the Chatzar. The Gemara answers, Dehavi oreach l'kabayu, because he's considered to be their guest. Rashi explains that since he didn't carry from his house, even though he uses the chatzer, he does not regain his relinquished rights because he's considered like their guest. Not fine. So the simple daf ayin is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The one-eyed Martian, that must mean Ron daf ayin. The one-eyed Martian was fascinated watching the Jewish earthlings be mevatel rishus to four neighbors explicitly. Which reminds us, Abai asks Rabba, Chamisha sheshurim b'chatzer achas, if five residents are living in one chatzer, v'shachar echo mehem v'lo irav, and one of them forgot and didn't join in the Erev with the others, k'shu mevatel v'shuso, when he relinquishes his rights to allow the others to carry, tzarek levatel kol echo v'echo to lo, Does he need to relinquish to each one explicitly or not? Perhaps it's sufficient to be mevatel zrushus to just one of them. Rabbah said, tzarek levatel kol echad ve'echad. He must be mevatel zrushus to each one explicitly. Abai challenged Rabbah from the first case in the Brisa, which teaches seven halachas regarding bitul rushus. Echad shelo irev, noisen rushus le echad she'irev. One resident who did not join the erev may relinquish his rights to one who did join. Abai said this implies that there was a third person in the chatzer. Otherwise, who did the second person join his erev with? And we see that the first person only had to be mevatel zrushus to one of the residents. Rabbi answered and said, Dahavi umis. He met his erev with someone who was there who died. Therefore, it was sufficient for the person to relinquish his rights to the resident that remained. So the one-eyed Martian was fascinated watching the Jewish earthling be mevatel zrushus to four neighbors explicitly, as they wished him condolences for the passing of his father. Which reminds us, Rabbi asked Rabbi Nachman, Yorish mahushi yevatel rushus. May an heir relinquish rights to property received on Shabbos from his deceased father? Do we say that since if he had wanted to join the Erev on Erev Shabbos, he could not, because the house and his share of that chatzar was not his, he can also not relinquish his rights, or perhaps kari da'avuhu, he is the leg of his father, meaning an extension of his father. Rav Nachman answered, Ani omer mevato, I say an heir may relinquish his rights in the house he inherits, v'hani debei Shmuel tani ein mevato, but the Talmidim in Shmuel's yeshiva taught he may not relinquish his rights. So the one-eyed Martian was fascinated watching the Jewish earthling be mevatel zrushus to four neighbors explicitly, as they wished him condolences for the passing of his father, and praised the institution of bitul rushus. Which reminds us, the Gemara challenges Rav Nachman, who says the heir may be mevatel zrushus, but Bryson states, kol shem mutter l'mikseh Shabbos hutter l'kol Shabbos. Any chatzer that was permitted for the first part of Shabbos remains permitted for the entire Shabbos, but kol shem nasser l'mikseh Shabbos nasser l'kol Shabbos. And any chatzer that was restricted for the first part of Shabbos remains restricted for the entire Shabbos, chutz mevatel rushus, except for the instance in which someone relinquishes his rights. This implies ihuin yorish lo, that he can be mevatel zrushus, but his heir, his yorish, cannot. The Gemara answers that the Braisa should state chutz metoris bitul rushus. The chatzer remains restricted except for the institution of bitul rushus. Rashi explains that an heir is included in the institution of bitul since he's considered an extension of his father. The Gemara brings further challenges to Rav Nachman's position. Daf Ein Av. So the symbol for Daf Ein Av is a donkey going E-ah, E-ah. So here goes. The demoralized donkey driver. Donkey driver, that must be one Daf Ein Av. The demoralized donkey driver, after learning that Bitul Rishus may not take place on Shabbos because it's a form of Kenyan, which reminds us two brises were brought to challenge Rav Nachman's position that a Yorish may be Vato or Rishus when he inherits it on Shabbos. Rav Yochanan said that the brises followed by Shammai who say, Ein Bitul Rishus, but Shabbos, that Bitul Rishus may not take place on Shabbos, whereas Rav Nachman holds like Beis Hillel that it can. Abai explains the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, saying that Beis Shammai holds bitul rishus mikne rishusahu. The bitul rishus is considered a kinyan, a form of transferring rights, and making a kinyan on Shabbos is usher. Whereas Beis Hillel says that bitul rishus istaluki rishusa ba'amahu is a simple abandonment of rights, which is mutter to do on Shabbos. So the demoralized donkey driver, after learning the bitul rishus may not take place on Shabbos because it's a form of kinyan, was informed his partnership with his neighbors using oil and wine didn't work as a shittuv. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Baal Bais she'er shittuv l'shcheinav. If a Baal Bais was a partner with his mavui neighbors, lezebiyan lezebiyan, with this one with wine and with that one with wine, ein tzrich l'arav, they do not need to join in an erev, meaning a shittuv, because the partnership is sufficient. If, however, lezebiyan lezebishemen, he was a partner with this one with wine and with that one with oil, tzrich l'arav, they must join in an erev. Rashi explains that they may not rely on their partnership since the wine and oil are in different containers. Rabbi Shimon says, Echod zeh ve'echod zeh ein tzrich l'arav. In either case, they do not need to join in an erev. Rabbi Yosef explained that the malchus between the Tanakam Rabbi Shimon is based on a malchus between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan regarding truma oil that is floating on top of truma wine, and the tefillah yom touched the oil, but not the wine. The Rabbanan hold that he only has invalidated the oil, whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, Shnein chiburin zeh lezeh, both of them, the oil and wine, are connected to each other, and therefore they both become invalidated. The Tanakhama holds like the Rabbanan that oil and wine are two separate entities, and Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who views the wine and oil as a single entity. So the demoralized donkey driver, after learning that bitul rishus may not take place on Shabbos because it's a form of kinyan, was informed his partnership with his neighbors using oil and wine didn't work as a shittuv, and the barrel of wine they had purchased together couldn't be used either. Which reminds us, a third opinion is introduced in the Braisa, which states, Belezer ben Tanai said, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh tzrichin l'arav. In both cases in our Mishnah, they must join in an erev, meaning a shittuv. Rav explains that if each person poured his jug into the same barrel, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai agrees with the Rabbanan that it is a valid Erev. He disagrees in a case where they purchased the barrel wine in partnership. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai holds Ein Brera, that there is no retroactive determination of specific ownership, and therefore the Erev is invalid, whereas the Rabbanan hold Yesh Brera, that there is a retroactive determination of specific ownership, and the Shittuv is valid. The Ritva explains that the barrel of wine is viewed as if it had been divided into individually owned jugs after the purchase and then poured back into the vessel. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Sefer Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of birthday cake. So I've done some major simanim surgery on this one. So now the siman reads, five families brought their bread and wine Erev and Shittuv travel kits for the Shabbos they were spending the mansion partitioned as groups to celebrate their rich father's birthday with a massive piece of cake, although they all wished they could have slept at home. So once again, five families brought their bread and wine Erev and Shittuv travel kits, which reminds us, on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, a Braisa taught that an Erev must be made with bread and not with wine. Rashi explained that Erev Mishum Dira, an Erev is symbolic of a residence, and a person's residence is determined by bread and not wine. A Shittuv, on the other hand, could be made with wine or bread. Rashi explains that a Shittuv merges the rights of the Chetzeros and not the houses, and wine suffices to create that merger. Rav Meir ruled that it's necessary that a person make an Erev and a Shittuv. Shalom HaShachech Torah's Erev Min HaTinokos, in order not to cause the institution of Erev to be forgotten from the children who would say that their fathers didn't make an Erev. The Chami said that doing only one of them would suffice for that. Rabbi Nechumi and Rabbah disagreed on what the Malchokos is about. One said that when a Shittuv is made with bread, Rav Meir would agree that it suffices for the Erev. The only argued when the Shittuv was made with wine. The other one said that the Chami would agree that when the Shittuv was made with wine, that an Erev is also required. They disagree only when the Shittuv was made with bread. So five families brought their bread and wine, Erev and Shittuv travel kits for the Shabbos they were spending in the mansion partitioned as groups, which reminds us the next Mishnah states, Chamisha Chabur Sheshavsu B'Traklin Echot, five groups that spent Shabbos in one mansion. Beishamai say Erev Echot Chabur V'Chabur, an Erev is needed for each group. And Beisilah say Erev Echot Echuan, one Erev suffices for all of them unless some of them are staying in separate rooms or upper stories. Rashi explains that they were divided into five areas in a large room, and each area had a door leading to a common chatzar, which also served residents of other buildings and opened into it. According to Beis Shammai, they would require five separate erevin with the other residents, as well as an additional erev to carry from one group area to the others. The Gemara presents a four-way malchokas regarding which type of partition Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree on. So five families brought their bread and wine, erev and shittuv travel kits for the Shabbos they were spending in the mansion, partitioned as groups, to celebrate their rich father's birthday with a massive piece of cake, although they all wished they could have slept at home. Which reminds the next mission states, Ha'achin shayu ochin al shulchan aviyem, yeshenim bevatem, brothers who eat at their father's table but sleep in their homes, which Rashi explains to mean that their houses are in the same chatzar as their father's, which also includes other residents, tzrichin erev kol echod ve'echod. They need an erev for each one if they want to join in an erev with the other residents in the chatzar. The Gemara suggests that the mission implies makam lina gora. The place of sleep determines a person's residence. But Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the Mishnah's case was where the brothers receive support from their father, but they don't live there. The Gemara brings a Malchokas regarding what determines one's Makam Dira, a place of residence. Rav said Pita, the place of bread, and Shmuel said Lina, the place of sleep. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which daf do we have a Malchokas regarding when Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim disagree that both an Erev and a Shittuv must be made? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good. Number 2. Wish up the one that a Nachri that has a private entrance going out to a field of Karpov does not restrict residents from using the Mavui. That's on Daf. Samach Zayin. Good. Number 3. Wish up the one that a Machokas regarding who has a close relationship, wives to a husband or servants to a master regarding being Matir and a Chatzir when they live in separate houses. That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 4. Wish up the one that when the Mishnah said brothers eat at their father's table, it meant they're supported by their father, but they eat at home. That's on Daf. Ayin Beis. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that a chatzar restricted at the first part of Shabbos remains restricted for the entire Shabbos except for the institution of Bittul Rishus? That's on Daf. Ayin. Good. Number 6. Which of the one that a yeshiva's tchum is measured from where they sleep, not from where they travel to eat? That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which of the one that Rabbi Meir is concerned that children will forget the institution of Erev does not apply when only one resident forgets to join the Erev? That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which of the one that Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says that people who partner in the purchase in a barrel of wine must make an Erev since he holds Ein Brera? That's on Daf. Ein Olive. Good number 9. Which stuff to be the Mokos Beisham Beisil? Whether 5 families spending Shabbos in a mansion partitioned in different groups need to individually make an Erev Chatzeres or not? That's on Duff. Ein Beis. Good number 10. Which stuff to be when the resident whose Mevatel Zershus is considered a guest of the other residents and may carry from their homes into the Chatzur? That's on Duff. Samach Tes. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff to be the Mokos is whether broken sewing needles are Muksa? That's on Duff. Kuf Chav Gimel in Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff to be a question whether woman's benching is the Raisa or the Rabbanan? That's on Duff. Chav and Brach is good. And number 3. Which stuff to be learn why Rebbe permits moving a pan with ashes? That's on Duff. Mem Zion and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.